Our scripture lesson today is going to come from Romans 12, verses 1 through 5. If you're using one of the Bibles there in the pew backs, that's on page 922. But if you're following along in your own Bible or on a Bible app on your phone, but we're gonna go verses 1 through 5 in Romans 12. I do invite you to open God's Word because it is powerful and rich for our lives. The Apostle Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, give me your strength. So that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God. Amen. So today is World Communion Sunday. It's a Sunday where several denominations, not all denominations, but several denominations with more similarities than differences, have set aside as the first Sunday in October. Whereas a body of Christ, the universal church, capital C, will gather at the table of our Savior. And the bread will be broken and the cup will be shared, reminding us all that we are one in Christ. In this letter, Paul has been addressing the church in Rome, both Jew and Gentile, that no one is any better before the Lord, and that salvation is offered to all. So we come to this part of Romans 12, where Paul is really finally addressing the way to live as followers of Christ. And he starts verse 3 by saying, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone listening, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think of sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to you. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ." Coming from a coaching background, I can't help but read this small passage here and think about some of the greatest teams I've either played on or coached. Some of the greatest teams that I've been on or coached or watched from a distance were not always the most talented, but they did the things that Paul's telling this church in Rome not to do. They avoid overemphasizing their own role or their own importance, because those on that team realize that it's not about them, it's about the whole body. The whole team. Every coach, every player knows that they are no more important than the next. Now that sounds silly to think that the MVP is no more important than the person that never plays. But if you've ever been on a team that just had a bond and a unity, that's exactly the case. on those good, those great, those excellent teams that may not have been the most talented, everyone found and knew their specific role and function. They knew what their job was. They knew what the team needed them to do. And then they did it. And they don't just do it for their own benefit, but they do it for the good of others. What a valuable lesson, not only for our church here at Emmanuel, but for the church universal. That as Christians, as Paul reminds this church in Rome, that we cannot overemphasize our importance as individuals here within this church, but then not overemphasize our importance as one church in many. It's probably safe to say that in most churches, in most cases, this is not the way that it works. We tend to think that based on how many years we have in membership, or how much money we put in the plate, we deserve more rights or more privileges than others. But Paul warns us and he tells us to stay away from such things. So how then, if that's the nature of who we are, is to not think about the good of the whole, then how do we accomplish it? Well, I'm working backwards a little bit here. But Paul says this in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what the will of God is. We cannot be conformed to the world. And Paul uses that term, not that we're not supposed to be involved and active in the world, but the world should look different than the church. Or said the other way, the church should look different than the world. And that's never been more true than it is today. There should be a distinction, a difference in judgment, in spirit, in behavior, in the way that we love from the world and those that proclaim to follow Christ. Too many times, even in when we start teaching our young children that are down there learning now, please don't make the mistake of thinking because we now have a youth group, our children are no longer important. They've actually started a new curriculum today that we think will be more transformative in their walk with Christ instead of informative. Because see, some of us have come to church our whole life and all we have is information. We can tell every story, Old and New Testament. We know the lineage, we know the kings, we know the prophets. And that's wonderful to have. But if the information coming out of this, if the movement of the Spirit in your life has not transformed you to look and act and love more like Jesus, then you're just a pool of information, an encyclopedia of biblical knowledge. I was once told that when I was teaching Sunday school several years back that I was the religious guru, that I should know the answer to the question, and I'd never been more offended by any statement in my entire life. And I said, I don't want to be a religious guru or scholar. I want to be a Christian. I want to be somebody that lives like Jesus. But too many times we get focused on the information. Information is defined as facts provided or learned about something or someone. Transformation is defined as a dramatic change in your appearance or life. Now, church, it's pretty easy to see that it is great to have facts and it is great to have knowledge, but the knowledge and the facts that come from this living Word, this living Word of God, is meant to transform us, to create a dramatic change in our lives so that we may live like Christ as one part of the whole body of Christ. So some of you are aware that I had to travel for class this week, and Some of you were jealous and told me to have a good time because that class happened to be in Orlando. There's nothing fun about Orlando when you're in class from 8 to 6. And then you got to go home and do homework in your hotel room, if you can call it that, has no TV. But I couldn't wait to get home. And so I'm thinking throughout this whole process, Lord, I know this is what you're speaking into my life for the sermon this week, but how am I going to share with people to find transformation when for so many years all we've cared about is information? And so all I asked Saturday morning before bed, I told my beautiful wife how much I loved her and that I was glad to be home. And right before getting ready to fall asleep, I said, thank you so much for loving me enough to let me sleep in the morning. Y'all's response was the same as hers. But I had the knowledge, I'm sleeping in, I'm exhausted. I'm sleeping in. So at 7:15, two children end up in my bed. Our bed. And both of them were waiting for me to get back from the bathroom so they could literally dive into the arms of their father. First, Logan, that one hurt a little more. And then I heard the fussing and the whining of his baby sister, because she was jealous and Anna Claire wanted in her daddy's arms just as much as Logan did. And in that moment, I understood, as people who proclaim to follow Christ, what it takes to be transformed. And it's to dive in the arms of our loving Father. That when we're away from our Father, it should drive our desire to get back into His arms. Saturday, the promise was I would take Logan to play golf if he was good for Stacy while I was gone and for his teachers. And he wasn't, but I took him to play golf anyway. And if you've ever played golf with me, I'm not any good. They call me Mr. Tree because I can hit the smallest branch as solid as anybody's ever done it. But I hit a shot pretty well, but right into a tree. And it thumps the tree and shoots out and kicks right in the middle of the fairway. Just how I planned it. But that's the only time in the last 6 weeks that a tree has benefited me. So being proud of my wonderful shot, I took my club and like a powerful warrior, and I took my club and I swing. Put my sword in my hip pocket. A hole later, Logan hit a shot. And he took his club. And for 15 straight shots, he did it every single time. And I said, buddy, we only do that when something cool happens. Stop. How do we find transformation? We act like our Father. We act like our Savior. And hopefully we'll do a better job. At least we have Christ to look up to and not me. I should have never taught him to do that because that's now all he does. But Christ has set the perfect example. And for us to have true transformation, a dramatic change in our lives, and I don't know about you, but I long for dramatic change in my life that brings more peace and more happiness and more contentment and more joy. We have to dive into the loving arms of our Father, and then we have to model and follow the example of our Savior. When you join a church, a congregation, regardless of the denomination, you make a promise, a commitment, or a vow of some kind. So in the United Methodist Church worldwide, we make five. We say we commit our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service. They should all be transformative in action. They should all be leading us deeper in our walk with Christ, so that then the fifth one, our witness, can be the example and the transformation somebody else needs to experience the love and the grace of Christ. The mission of the United Methodist Church worldwide says to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It's a oneness. The whole world needs to be transformed in the image of God. Here at Emmanuel, our mission statement says, by God's grace, because without it, we are nothing. And the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because without it, we can do nothing. We pursue Christ. We pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. And church, that world starts in our homes. It starts on our streets and our workplaces and our community. There's a oneness in transformation. And although we may disagree on theological concepts, we are one body that God is using to redeem and to transform the world. Friday, we had chapel down in Orlando, and I was thinking about oneness in World Communion Sunday. And as we entered, something that I'd never experienced in my entire life happened. I walked into a chapel service with people from all different backgrounds, all different countries, all different ethnicities, all different languages and dialects. And the songs that we sang, we alternated verses from English to Spanish. The prayers alternated from English to Spanish. And I called it as odd until I looked around and I realized that in a group of 100 and something people, we were pretty divided evenly because of where we were in Florida. And that no longer seemed weird to me. But I felt like I was standing and looking at a picture of what heaven will one day be like, where the whole world will come together and praise God. One of the more powerful worship services I've ever had. I met a young lady on the plane. I was praying nobody would talk to me. But I also prayed that if God, you needed me to do something, give me the opportunity. And so I had a row all to myself, and I was thinking how great this was going to be. And then this young college girl said, can I sit by the window? I let her in. There's still a seat between us. She's not going to talk to me. She's already got headphones in. This is great. God, thank you for this 35 minutes of silence. Then an incident happened on a plane. You ever been on a plane when security has to get on? And people are starting to cuss and holler at each other. You start talking to the people around you quick because you're trying to find out who's the crazy one and who's not. So I asked her, I said, I want to know. Like, can I trust you if this goes down, or am I going to have to, handle this business? And then I started hearing her story, and she's from a different country. And she was working on an English paper that was due at midnight. It was already after 11. Or 10:30, whatever it was. I said, you might ought to learn to start earlier. And so she started proceeding to tell me, from my teacher background. So she started proceeding to tell me some things, and we talked. And she did the best thing she could have done. She never asked what I did for a living. She just wanted to talk. And so when we got done, with tears in her eyes, she said, I don't know what you believe, but I believe that God puts people in your path that you need, and I needed to talk to you tonight. And I said, well, young lady, I believe the same thing. And since you've been so open with me, I'm a pastor. And I want your contact information so I can stay in touch with you, so I can continue to pray for what was going on in her life. We have nothing in common. Don't even speak the same primary language. But God gave me an opportunity to show me the oneness of Christians, the oneness of the body of Christ. So I want to challenge you this week to be transformative in your relationship with God, to allow transformation to happen in the way that you participate and serve in the church. Let's all be good teammates. Let's not think more highly of ourselves than we are. And let's live our life worthy of the gospel given to us. Let's pray.